JB, is your phone turned off?
It is turned off.
Right. And have you stopped sitting in a darkened room with game tape of Andy Goode from today?
I've not seen it yet. I've only seen the highlights.
Yeah.
That was enough. That was enough. Right. Well, listen, it's the final podcast of 2014. Hands in and pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Thank you very much. If you're listening to this for the first time, thank you very much for downloading. If you've been with us since the very start, thank you equally. And to one and all, very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, depending on when you're listening to this. This will be our final podcast of 2014, and we've got some festive theme stuff for you. We're also obviously going to be looking at the Aviva Premiership. We're going to be talking about some of the big talking points in the world of rugby as well, a game that we all love but don't take seriously. And we don't take ourselves too seriously either. I'm Tim. JB is here.
Good day, Tim.
And Phil is here.
Hi, Tim.
Right, then.
You feeling festive, Tim?
I'm feeling very festive. In fact, should we get some festive music on straight away? Let's do that.
Yeah. You feeling festive, Phil?
I'm feeling a bit hungover.
I'm feeling very hungover. Festively hungover.
Festively hungover.
I like pre-Christmas weddings. That's where JB and Phil have been.
Yeah. A very, very nice wedding for our friend CJ.
Our friend of the pod.
Yeah, friend of the pod. One-time contributor.
One-time co-host.
Long-time listener.
Yes, long-time listener.
So if you're listening and you have a wedding soon, feel free to invite us.
We got very, very drunk. The two highlights include speaking to Frank Haddon, former Scotland coach, about rugby.
Yep, he was there.
Who, me and Jay were just talking at him for like 10 minutes and he slowly tried to back away.
So do you guys not have vibes? Frank, don't go.
And the other highlight, which I wasn't involved in, was being told that Jay got found walking through the Holiday Inn at 3 a.m. in just his boxers, unable to find his room.
I couldn't get back into the room.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dear me. Apologies to the Holiday Inn staff.
Did Frank Haddon have anything interesting rugby-wise to say?
Talking about the merits of the current Scotland team and the benefits of having Glasgow playing well.
For anyone that doesn't know Frank Haddon, by the way,
ex-Scotland coach.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Not. I don't think he's overly thrilled with the depth of talent which I have. Let's put it that way.
Actually said that he's worried, genuinely worried, that a couple of injuries and you could legitimately have Richie Vernon playing outside the centre for Scotland in next year's World Cup.
So a little bit more squad depth for Christmas for Scotland.
Yes.
Indeed. From Frank Haddon. Well, one little festive thing that we asked you to get involved in, and there's a couple of these, but the first one, let's just deal with this one then. A Christmas nativity scene made out of rugby players. We had loads of suggestions. I'm just going to rattle through some of the good ones. Now, I like this one from Joe Heron, who said that Ryan Lamb should be the background.
Very good.
And Gavin Catwood. And Gavin Catwood. Yeah. And he also said that Peter Stringer. There was quite a hot debate over who should be the baby Jesus. Joe Heron said Peter Stringer because he's a small boy who turned out to be a miracle worker.
True. Very
spot,
true.
Spot the nation that Joe's coming from there. Whereas lots of other people saying that it should be Billy O'Driscoll as baby Jesus, son of Bod.
Yeah, I like that.
Although Callum Gillen said that George Ford should be Jesus and Owen Farrell should be King Herod trying to destroy the prodigal son.
Makes sense.
I like that. Joe Schmidt as a wise man bringing gold, says Rawls. Jacques Berger should be the head shepherd, the way he keeps everyone in check and also sheared his own head, says Dave Newman. I quite like that one. Alan Rowland suggested as Herod. So thank you very much. We very much appreciate.
Beautiful. Absolutely stunning.
Lovely. That is gorgeous, stone, isn't it? Let's get on to the Premiership then.
Aviva
Premiership Rugby, Pro 12 Rugby as well. We saw lots of it. I'm going to suggest we start with the Big East Midlands Derby. Northampton Saints against Leicester Tigers.
Some people are saying this is the best game ever to be played in the Premiership.
Really?
That's how good it was. I thought it was up there.
I thought it was riveting. I didn't think it was.
Oh, the atmosphere, yeah. The drama.
The hits going in.
Yeah.
Every contact was massive, wasn't it?
I don't know what it is about these two clubs, but when they play each other, it is awesome.
And the finale as well, with the lead switching a couple of times
that was,
in the last,
that was great.
Last 10 minutes.
That was great.
I thought the most interesting aspect of this is Dylan Hartley obviously gets red carded. Sorry, spoiler alert. however, I think Northampton were playing mind games with Leicester by taking a back off and basically saying to the Leicester backs, we don't rate you. So they brought on their reserve hockey.
Also, you've got to remember at the time they were getting pumped in the scrums.
They were. Yeah.
So had they been seven men, it would have been.
And They did concede a penalty try, even with eight. Yeah,
I don't know that they had a choice.
Yeah, so it's probably more showing that their fear of the Leicester pack rather than their kind of disdain for the Leicester backs.
I thought that the Northampton backs were very, very good, even with only six of them.
Well, we're going to have to talk about the big talking point. Well, there was two of them, really. There was a yellow card for Tom Croft and there was a red card for Dylan Hartley. Can we just mention the Tom Croft one first, the yellow card?
This is ludicrous, isn't it?
I know. I don't get it. I don't understand what is going on.
I don't understand it.
So Tom Croft, if you missed it, Tom Croft was covering a cross and made a tackle, which was in the upper part of the chest. It wasn't. He didn't take his neck.
No,
It could have been given as a penalty for a high tackle. Fair enough, maybe. But I could have quite been happy with... I wouldn't have been bothered if that was let to play on.
How would you feel about this? Okay, so...
And he was given a yellow card because the referee decided it was the second high tackle of the half and therefore should be a yellow card.
Well, that would be my argument because someone got yellow carded in the London Irish game for being offside. David Pace. And we looked at that as a standalone incident. You think, well, no, that's not a yellow card. But maybe if... There's been two or three high ones.
And he'd warned them and said, look, you're repeatedly offside, you need to watch it.
But I didn't even see that, really.
High shots.
We've got to stop using the video ref for everything.
Because it was such a big hit. But it was perfectly legitimate and legal. And I think it was JP Doyle, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
He just said, yep, play on, it's fair. That's how it should have been.
I want to applaud Tom Croft because he is a model professional of a guy and been really unlucky with injuries. But the way that he just...
Except for World Cups and Lions tours.
the way that he swallowed that, walked off and waited until he was on the bench and clear and then just gave it a little shake of the head. That's all he did. I would have been fuming to have got a yellow for that.
I would.
Richard Cockerell's reaction to it being a red card for Dylan Hartley, I think, said everything.
What did Cocker say this week?
Well, no, Cockers just basically said when he was asked, did you think it was a red card? He basically swerved the question and said, well, you've seen him given as yellows, but that's the referee's decision. He just swerved it. Basically, if I was reading between the lines, I'd say Richard Cockerell was effectively saying, no way was that a red card.
Is it hell a red card?
I'd go the opposite way.
You love rules.
It's an elbow to the head.
It is, but they're playing rugby. They're playing a man's contact sport.
Yeah, which is dangerous enough already when you've got people like Courtney Laws and Samu Manoa hunting in packs.
Where you're at with this, Phil, is where I think it's gone wrong. Now, I don't blame the referee or the television match official. It was the television match official that persuaded the referee to give a red card. And I don't blame either of them. But what's happening here is that there is no feel for the game. There is no leeway to be given. It's like a black and white box that gets ticked. It's like a flow diagram, yes or no, black or white.
Exactly.
And that is wrong. And that is the RFU's fault. That is nothing to do with the referees. That is the RFU's fault.
It's this thing where we want the game to appeal to mothers so they send their kids to play rugby. It's ludicrous.
There's definitely an element of that. And someone said, no, any elbow or fist to the face is an automatic red card.
Yeah, I hate that because it's football as well.
But there are degrees of it. And there are times when it overlaps and there might be contact with the face, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a red card.
I think the use of the TMO now is ridiculous. I mean, the TMO should now be manned by an excited schoolboy. And the only question that you're allowed to ask is, did you enjoy that, yes or no? And if the answer is yes, they should just play on.
Matt Smith is partly culpable, and this goes back to something Richard Cockerell said earlier in the season when he said, now you're just encouraging players to dive. Matt Smith, no way would he have gone that. If he was outside a pub and someone had done that to him in a bit of a scrap, he would never have hit the deck.
I'd like to see Matt Smith get
caught. He's a big lad. He's like 6'3" and 15 odd stone. He's a big lad.
I would like to see Matt Smith get cited for simulation.
I would.
He definitely did get elbowed in the head, though.
He did.
That definitely happened.
In this instance,
it didn't hurt that much.
It might not have hurt that much.
No.
In this instance, he got away with it, as in he's not had his jaw broken or anything like that. It could easily have gone that. I completely agree with the degrees thing. I think that is right, but I just think that was
an
offence worthy of a red card.
Do you know what? It's all about opinions, and I think JB and I'm completely with JB on this one.
I'm surprised at that, Tim.
I'm not condoning violence, and I'm not saying
he's back on his fence.
No, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't have been penalty, yellow card, off you go. But Dylan Hartley's was a definite yellow, and if it had been slightly more square of a hit than maybe a red, Tom Croft was nowhere near
that
a yellow.
Yeah, that is a case of let the boys play. That really is.
We all agree with that one.
Yeah. Right. Were you impressed by the efforts of Day, second row?
I was impressed by...
I thought he was awesome.
Courtney Laws.
They were all awesome.
Courtney Laws carrying in the wide channels. Manoa was massive. They were awesome.
They'll miss him.
Yeah.
If he goes, they'll miss him a lot.
It's confirmed.
Oh, is it?
Beaujolais has confirmed it this week, saying he is going on a 4-year deal as well.
Oh, wow. How old is he?
28, something like that.
No, he's older than that. I think he's about 30, you know.
No, I think Phil might be right on that. A massive effort from Northampton, you have to say. Dylan Hartley's put himself in a bit of a pickle with the Six Nations.
He seems to do this, doesn't he? Every so often. Just have a head explosion.
Yeah.
29 is Sammy Manoa.
There we go. We'll split the difference. Let's talk about Sam Burgess.
Talk to me about Sam Burgess, Jay. Well, what do you want to say?
I actually saw nothing of Sam Burgess this week, other than he wore a outside backs replacement shirt.
Yes, number 23.
He wore number 23 on his back.
See, I don't know why this music's playing, right? Because I'm not a Sam Burgess fan.
You want to take a little camping trip up in the mountains.
I think so far it's been a complete waste of time.
I'm cold, Sam. I'm cold. Hold me.
He was outplayed last week by Banahan.
But another win for Bath. But can I just say,
another
by the way...
Another win. The biggest ever win at King's Home for them.
Can I just say, by the way, I got 6 out of 6 predictions correct.
Well
done.
Yes. In the Premiership, that is.
Same as you, but with Leicester winning.
You said that Exeter beat Sale.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
I was 5 out of 6. I said Exeter.
I'm never going to pick against Exeter, though.
Just on the Bath-Gloucester game. Sorry, Tim, can you stop this music?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Gloucester, when they're defending a mall, is the most confusing thing. Do Gloucester have a forwards coach? Is anyone telling them what to do?
This has been happening now. We mentioned it last year when they used the...
Anchor technique.
You're familiar with the anchor technique.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the anchor technique. Yeah.
Drop to the floor, grab their ankles.
Yeah, and get dragged along.
You've got to grab the waistband of the shorts and let them drag you over the try line.
And that doesn't look lame at all when you're a 6'7" James Hudson getting dragged along the floor.
You look at one of them and you think, oh, right, it must just be James Hudson being useless. But then you've got Kvesic doing the same thing. Oh, it's a technique. They're teaching it.
But right, when you watch a good driving mall, I was trying to liken it to something. It's like when you watch some worker ants picking up a bit of food or something like that. And they automatically know their place. They know their job and they get the job done. So watching Saracens driving mall is like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Watching Gloucester try and defend a driving mall is like someone's bug repellent on them, and they're all like running in circles. One's going backwards, one's upside down with its legs in the air.
It's like watching it's like watching a scrum half herding cats. What is it as well that they seem to have a lot of money? They buy big name players and they turn useless. I don't know if Hook has always been useless. I have my suspicions now, but Hook isn't doing particularly well there. I mean, 12 trees, I'd say it has improved his career, but everyone else just looks lost.
Kvesic. Hudson.
Oh my God, Kvesic's turned into a nightmare.
Afoa, Hibbard's still there.
Yeah.
A lot of energy.
We're going to have to compliment Sale Sharks, aren't we, on a brilliant win against Exeter.
Absolutely. Really,
they dog it out all the time.
There's something about that team.
There's something about the team. They're sort of better than the sum of their parts, aren't they?
Yeah. That's a diamond effect. I mean, he does, as much stick as we give him, he does do it.
He's
really
a galvanising kind of influence, isn't he?
Do you think it's because they all just hate him so much?
No, I think the people that are still there probably quite like him, but...
Yeah, it's kind of like...
He's
like,
total Marmite, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Like, they want to do it just not to please him, but just to despite him. You know?
Well, he's quite good at finding a common enemy for them all to hate together. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, the world's against us. Oh, the RFU are just ignoring us. He's quite clever politics, I think.
Do you think Diamond is kind of the finished article? Is Diamond the finished article of what Cocker's wants to be? Do you think that's what he's aspiring to?
He's modelled himself on
Diamond. Yeah, I mean, at full potential, Cocker's is Diamond.
Possibly, you know.
I definitely see similarities.
I definitely see similarities.
Yeah.
Something about playing a hooker, maybe.
Exactly, yeah.
Got to be complimented on a really good win, as have Wasps, on an absolute thumping, and not just that, but on a record regular domestic attendance in the Aviva Premiership.
Fact.
That's incredible, isn't it? Wasps of all teams.
I know.
Yeah, two records, because Andy Goode got the most points scored in a Premiership fixture.
I bet the Wasps executives are rubbing their hands thinking, I can't believe this has worked.
Yeah.
This has actually worked.
It certainly looks like it. It's
we'll
very
see
good
in
start.
A couple of months' time. I think they would have given a lot of tickets away.
Here's the interesting part. They weren't talking about the amount of tickets which they had given away or sold, which obviously I'm with you on this one. I thought they gave a load away. They're actually talking about the amount of money that they made. I mean, the gate receipt is really, really high. So people have actually gone out and bought tickets.
Well, you get people in, they buy a pie, they buy a beer.
Yeah.
And they had flags on every seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made a real big deal out of it.
Looked impressive.
Andy Goode is from Coventry. Is he from Coventry or is he from around Coventry?
Yeah. He started his career at Coventry.
Yeah, and he's a Coventry City football fan. And
he's
from there, from the area.
And he's getting better and better every single game.
What is it about him and Hodgson? They're both looking really tidy.
In
the latter stages of their career.
I've been saying this for a couple of years, and I don't actually know if this point applies to Andy Goode, but so in the last 20 years, sports nutrition and the medicine...
It doesn't apply to
Andy Goode. But all that stuff is meaning that people are fitter, faster, stronger, and... It's looking like you're getting more and more people playing into their mid to late 30s and playing well. Like, look at Brad Thorne and look at Nathan Hines and those two there. Maybe Andy Goode, not quite with the nutrition, but he's obviously doing something right, isn't he?
Well, I suppose it is the only place really on a rugby field where you can be useless at everything, but just good at your one job, and that is enough.
But his one job is quite like...
It's quite
instrumental.
His passing, his kicking, his intelligence.
Think of him as a quarterback. I mean, some quarterbacks in the NFL literally can't run. I mean, if you watch Peyton Manning throw a ball and he's doing a little shuffle, and you look at this guy, you think, wow, that's the best that they've got. But he's very good at putting a ball where it needs to be.
He's just an arm, isn't he?
Exactly.
It's all about the arm.
Whereas Goode's a bit more than that.
He does have to have the all wrong. It was interesting. Did you read the interview with, I think it was Goode and Nick Easter, a little while ago in the Telegraph, last couple of weeks?
Oh, yeah, Nick Easter talking about the shape and size of rugby players.
Yeah, where he's saying there's still a place for like intelligent players rather than just gym monkeys.
Yeah.
And he likes to see people do ball in hand stuff and the skills and execution stuff rather than just gym.
It does feel like as you get older as well, you understand a lot more about the game and the timing. And maybe being a fly half, it is beneficial.
Yeah. And like Brian O'Driscoll lost a lot of pace towards the end of his career, but never looked out of place. He never got burnt on the outside and all that stuff, just because his position was always spot on.
Yeah.
Can I just heap praise as well on the Wasps back row, which I just love. I mean, I'm not sure which back row I prefer more, Wasps or Baths. I mean, Bath's back row is sick.
Bath have so many options in their back row.
And by the way, Garvey's just come back. Looks like a hero.
Scoring tries for fun.
He was wearing a cape. The second try, he wore a cape.
And Ferns and Francois Lowe.
Yeah. So who would you... I mean, as a big
Houston,
back rowers go, would you go Lowe, Garvey, Ferns, or Haskell, Hughes
and Ashley Johnson?
I'd go with that Bath back row when they're all starting and firing, yeah.
I don't know.
Just Lowe is that good.
Yeah, he is that good, but...
And then Nathan Hughes is so good. If you were going to pick a back row out of both back rows, who would you go? I'd go with
Hughes at 8.
I'd go with Hughes at 8.
Johnson, Lowe.
Lowe and Johnson.
Yeah, I probably would.
But, I mean, the other thing as well, the Wasps boys can really play, and they're like the natural strong.
Yeah.
Like, you just watch Ashley Johnson step on someone, it's devastating.
Yeah. But the other side, like Garvey and...
Sorry, it's not just stiff hands in the studio looking at JB.
Ferns and Garvey also do like all the unseen work, the hard work, like the Richard Hill stuff, like hitting rooks and those unseen.
Garvey looked incredible coming back.
Yeah.
I'm very much looking forward to watching Bath to lose Mark 2-0.
Right, well, let's just have a brief break because we do have a bit of a stash watch, gentlemen.
Do we?
And I'm going to bust out some of similar... erotic music.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, Paul.
Oh, yeah,
Paul,
I know what you're
thank
about.
You for tweeting to at Rugby Podcast with a picture of Italy's brand new kit for the Six Nations and possibly for the World Cup. And Paul describes it as pure sex in a rugby kit.
Wow.
It's hard to disagree.
Yeah, it's nice. Adidas doing some good things, aren't
they? Not as nice as Canterbury, though. Remember
it's Adidas doing the Italian blue, pale blue, with three stripes, dark blue stripes on the shoulders, on each shoulder. And pinstripe shorts is the revelation here.
What?
Pinstripe shorts. Navy with, looks like either light blue or...
Let me have a look at this. Pinstripe shorts.
Yeah, pinstripe shorts.
Oh, my word. I don't like them.
Do you not?
No, I don't. Oh, reminds me of Manchester City, and I hate Manchester City.
Actually, do you know what? It does look a bit more like a football kit, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And I don't like it. No. I like the top. Yeah. I like the top. But the shorts, as a combination, no.
Hits. And what are they doing not putting Sergio Parisse in the press shot?
I know.
I mean, come on. That's just basic.
Who is doing the press for them?
I don't know.
I don't actually know who that is.
I don't know who that is. But I like the shorts. They're pretty cool.
No, I really like this. I think I prefer this. Again, it's like the new French one. I prefer the
new French one. You're both wrong. That's a downgrade from their last kit.
Now, one thing we're going to do, we're going to get to the Pro 12 in a little bit, and we'll talk about more rugby issues. There's the salary cap debate we want to have after Saracens, along with some other clubs, said they want to scrap or increase the salary cap. So we'll get into that. But Phil came up with a cracking idea of coming up with an alternative 15 of the year, a fifth of the year.
Yeah, so it's not really to do with how well they've played. Like, we wouldn't have, I don't know, Johnny Sexton and Dwayne Vermeulen.
No.
But unless they had been the most talked about players of the year.
So is anyone that really stands out here that's talked about?
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a few.
Not one guy in particular who's spoken about a lot and done nothing on a field yet.
Well.
Yet.
There might be someone like that.
Okay.
So where do you want to start? Backs or forwards?
Backs.
Backs do tend to be a bit more headline grabbing.
Yes.
I'm going to suggest two wingers.
Okay.
Nick Cummins, the Honey Badger, and Johnny May.
Johnny May.
I can't think of another winger. We've talked about Surveyor a lot, but...
Johnny May's try.
Johnny May's try as a moment of the year.
See, I've gone for Nick Cummins.
Yeah.
And fellow Australian. I've gone for an all-Australian back three, actually.
What?
Fellow Australian, Adam Ashley Cooper.
Ah.
Who hit his 100 caps.
Yeah.
Was pictured in the cricket whites, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He's obviously just signed for Bordeaux Bagels for next season. And just all-round good bloke. And he won the Super Rugby with Waratahs.
That sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Go on, AAC, Cummins, and are you talking Falau then at the back?
No, Kirtley Beale.
Oh, yes, of course.
Texgate.
Oh, yeah. What did they expect to happen when you have when you have 15 guys, the best in their country are what they do, charged fully with testosterone and encouraged to do so, and then you give them a female business manager. What did they think would happen? They'd all just stop picking up issues of The Guardian and being PC.
Right, all Aussie back three, and I'm happy with that. In the centres, we're going to have to stick slamming Sam in, aren't we?
Yeah, and alongside him, you could have Sonny Bill, because he's been talked about
Bod, surely.
Bod as well.
Bod retiring, and in the manner he retired with that send-off that Ireland gave him.
He won the Rabo.
I thought that announcement had already been made, so when it's made again, I don't know.
What?
Burgess and Bod.
Yeah, Bod, and especially Bod for his appearances on BT Sport, where he's awesome.
10, we're going to have to go for George Ford, aren't we, surely?
Well, we've talked about him a lot. I was thinking off-field stuff. Aaron Cruden.
Yes, good, nice, strong.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
But we only talked about him for missing that fly. But that was the only time.
This is the alternative 15 of the year, isn't it?
And then Johnny Wilkinson, potentially,
for being amazing.
For being wonderful.
Wilco.
For being just a wonderful person.
Yeah.
Wilco's in. Wilco, Bod, Burgess, AAC, Cummins and Beale. Who's going to be the nine orchestrating that that back line?
I struggled with nine a little bit.
Yeah, I am.
The one I've got was Rory Cockett for the Toulon. Like, there's a lot of talk about him moving and that stuff. Playing really well, top point scoring in the top 14 last year,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously being capped for France. So from that point of view, he was talked about quite a lot.
You're right. There hasn't been a nine in this calendar year. There hasn't been a nine that's been.
There was
either Mike Phillips must have done something.
Either exceptional or dreadful.
I'm just remembering, I might have got this wrong. There was the Aaron Smith Tinder story.
No, what is this?
I matched with an All Black on Tinder. All Blacks rugby star Aaron Smith gets rejected by student.
Oh.
I think we talked about this. Why did you not bring this up?
Yeah.
I've forgotten.
The Kiwi 24 Aaron Smith matched with a girl on Tinder when he was on tour in Scotland. They chatted for a bit. He invited her to his hotel room. She turned down the offer because he's 5'7".
And she, nice. She's 6'1".
Bloody hell.
She's a tall girl.
That's
But then she...
Then she sold her story.
Then she sold her story.
What a classy lady.
Yeah, well done.
Real classy.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Smith at 9. Fine, done. Right, forwards then. Now, there's been 3 back row players we've talked about a lot. Haskell.
In.
Surely.
Is he in for his excellent coffee, his nutrition brand...
His
MMA stuff.
His general banter.
Archbishop of Banterbury. Yeah. Captain Bantos.
Yeah. Captain Bantos just needs to go in.
Yeah.
So Hask is in. And let's just think back. Now, he's taken a little bit of a back... Now, if Jacques Berger listened to this podcast, I think he'd feel a little bit put out. Like, those boys have forgotten the one that used to make that music fire up. Now it's Sam Burgess getting the Brokeback Mountain theme tune.
Why? He's done nothing. Sam Burger's done nothing yet.
But Jacques Berger was always the man that JB wanted to go fishing with in a river up a mountain somewhere. Well, and let's just remember, this was the year, 2014, of Jacques Berger single-handedly destroying Clermont Auvergne.
Exactly, yes. It was. Now, can we just say this, right? Sam Burger doesn't get Jacques' music until he scores a try. Then he can have Jacques' music, but until then...
Or at least hospitalises someone.
Yeah.
All right.
Do something.
All right.
So... Haskell, Berger. I've got one for the third.
Go on.
World Cup winner.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie Alfonsi.
Maggie Alfonsi.
Because she's now doing javelin.
Shot put.
And she won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's two pretty good reasons.
I like it. Good. Second row then. Now I put Will Skelton in just for his champagne throwing antics when the Waratahs won the Super Rugby.
Now I've actually put Will Skelton's brother in for the pictures of Will Skelton. Have you seen them?
No.
Oh, is he massive?
He's humongous.
And 14.
He's like 13, stood next to one of the Waratahs' back rows. The Waratahs' back row is like 6'3 and 17 stone. And Will Skelton's brother is head and shoulders, 13-year-old brother's head and shoulders.
Oh, my word.
What? Above him.
Wow. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is that him?
Yeah, 13-year-old brother.
It's ludicrous, isn't it? It is absolutely ludicrous. Do you reckon he's signed a long-term contract with Waratahs yet? Do you reckon they've got him on some sort of development deal?
God, wow. Not far off, surely. Who else in the second row?
Has to be Matt Field.
Yeah.
For his comeback. Yeah. Comeback from 2 years at 37 to like captain in the Springboks at various times.
Definitely. And into the front row then, Kian Healy. He had the best ice bucket challenge.
Yes, that was awesome.
He's been injured a lot and has been doing loads of good stuff online.
Yeah, that video of him towing a Land Rover on a beach was pretty good.
Keeping fit.
It would either be Kian Healy or Joe Marler at loose head, because Joe Marler's pretty good all round.
Yeah.
And he talks a lot.
Well, you know what? I think Joe Marler should get in and we should just ignore the tight head loose head thing and just have two props.
Yeah, they
unless you can think of a tight head that deserves it more.
Well, I would have gone for Adam Jones for the whole Ospreys Cardiff Blues thing, but that's not great. I'd happily have those two.
And Hooker.
Have you got one, Tim?
Oh no, I can only think Hartley just for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Because it was the Aviva Premiership final. Was that last year?
No, that was...
it was this year.
That was this year.
The Aviva Premiership final meant he missed the... No, that was the Lions.
That's when he missed the Lions last year.
He's a nightmare, isn't he? He's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
But very good at lineouts.
But isn't that why he plays rugby? Because he's a bit of a violent hothead.
Yeah, but...
And that's what makes him good.
Yeah, but it also... You need to control it, don't you?
I know, but I do think we're taking something away from the game.
Who did you have, Phil?
So I had slightly more positive than Dylan Hartley.
Corey Britton.
God, we should have had Corey Britton.
How do we explain Corey Britton one? A story involving Corey Britton, some unisex changing rooms.
always a risk, that.
A camera.
Yeah.
And an irate woman calling the police.
Yes.
And then a transfer to a different club.
Yeah.
It's been very successful, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, how on their weight?
Yeah, 78 points.
Yeah.
Anyway, No, I had a more positive, far more positive than either of those. I just got thinking about the Australian hooker crisis and Nathan Charles, who got his first few caps this year, who is, believe I was reading an article on it today, believed to be the only person in the world who is a professional sportsman with cystic fibrosis.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That.
So that is just...
Fact. Do you know what?
Absolutely superb.
I hate really ruin this for you. There is a local fighter who has cystic fibrosis.
Does like the professional
semi-pro MMA scene?
Not professional then.
He gets paid. No, not full time. No.
Yeah, the article that I was reading was.
Judging by his last fight, I don't think he should have many more.
Well, do you know on that front, and it's nothing that there's no words that go with this, but there's an amazing, really brilliant video that's been doing the rounds this last week. On YouTube and stuff. It's got 100,000 views. No, not that one.
Okay.
And it's from a Welsh rugby team, and you're a score.
Oh yes.
And you're gonna have to pronounce it. What does that say, JB?
Ysgol Brynhyfryd.
Ysgol Brynhyfryd. What does that mean?
Brynhyfryd. It's a
just a score.
School.
So
Rhythin.
There's a video, and I'll tell you what. I'll tweet it out at Rugby Podcast. There's a school that played at Ruthin Rugby Club. Rhythin or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Rhythin Rugby Club, and it was just a normal school game, and there was a try scored at the end, and there's this brilliant video of this lad streaking away, scoring the winning try, all his teammates coming and grabbing him and hugging him, and as you see him right here, and it's got some pretty inspiring music that goes with it.
Uh-huh.
And then it's got an email from the teacher, Hugh Thomas Griffiths.
Obviously.
To all staff, who's just attached a video of this guy Ethan's winning try.
Uh-huh.
And says, I'm pleased to announce that the rugby team won their game last night with Ethan making an appearance in both halves and scoring the winning try in the last moments of the game. It was a magical moment for Ethan, his family and all the staff who came to support him and the team. A special mention must go to Ethan's teammates last night who looked after him, encouraged him and even made efforts to help him with his maths by asking him to assist with the numbers on the backs of the shirts before the game. I don't think I've ever been prouder of being a teacher at JB.
Ysgol Brynhyfryd.
Than I was last night. We have some truly special students at our school. And then, as the video explains, and spoiler alert, but it's still amazing, even if you know this.
I have no idea what's going to happen next.
Ethan has Down syndrome.
Crikey.
And there he is, streaking away. They show the clip again, streaking away for the winning try. And his teammates all grabbing him, hugging him. You can hear the crowd cheering. It's pretty amazing stuff.
It's awesome.
It's an amazing video. And,
yeah.
Just reminded me of it. And
really good thing. Yeah, love that.
Happy Christmas vibes and,
yeah.
Goodwill to all men and all that. I thought I'd mention that. No.
Absolutely.
JB thought I was going to mention the fact that my kids have become a YouTube internet
sensation
the last week.
Yeah, they're on Huffington Post.
How many million? How many million views?
3.5 million views of a video that I uploaded 3 years ago.
That's amazing.
It's been sat there with 3,000 views for 3 years, and then all of a sudden someone put it on Reddit. And it's basically of me giving my kids a banana and an onion. It might well have popped up on your Facebook timeline. I know that the Lad Bible nicked it and posted it.
What, Lad Bible did it again?
They did it again, yeah.
What is wrong with those people?
They just
I'm going to hunt them down. I'm going to hunt them down.
That's my intellectual copyright, that video, and they just nicked it.
No, but
that's not even the start of it. The Daily Mirror nicked it and put a branding all over it. And no, it's been in the Daily Mail. It's been in the Independent. It's been in... the Mirror, it's been in the Manchester Evening News, it's been on Sunrise, the big TV breakfast show in Australia, it's been on the Today Show, it's been in the Huffington Post, it's been everywhere. It's
got furious on your behalf now, Tim. Your job is effectively, you make content for stuff.
Yeah.
That is what you do. The Lad Bible have not only stolen our first video, which you made go viral, like 500,000 views. They've now tried to steal your kids.
Oh, that was the vine of the Magnus the Magnus not working as champagne at the end of the Super
Rugby.
They are
such morons.
Well, there's not a lot you can do.
I'm coming for Lad Bible.
Well... I'm sure they're scared with their 7 million followers on Facebook.
They'll be scared when we hunt them down.
So anyway, yeah, it's been a big old week from that point of view. And let me tell you, and I'm not going to tell you what it is until next podcast because I haven't got the certificate yet, but I am, think I'm going to be, touch wood, a Guinness World Record holder.
Yes!
Wow!
Excellent.
Watch this space on
Do you need to pay for a Guinness World Record?
No, you just need to be the best at something.
Very good, Tim.
Right. What should we do now?
Quiz.
Pro 12. Let's just quickly, quickly touch on the Pro 12. Oh, what is going on
actually,
at Ulster?
Do we have to touch on the Pro 12?
What's going on at
do
Ulster?
Do we have to touch on the Pro 12? That's a good question.
Oh, God.
What's going on at Ulster, Phil?
I've mentioned a few times we have got some injuries at the moment. More than a few. More than our fair share. Well, it's 31-20, but
then
Ulster,
Ospreys, yeah.
Yeah, Ulster scored three tries in like the last 10 minutes to make it respectable. It was like 31-6 with about 10 or 15 minutes to go. Glasgow Munster. That sounded like a good game.
Yeah.
Really good game for Glasgow to pin.
Edinburgh Benetton. Who on earth had to watch that?
we could have gone to watch it.
Yeah, we could have, couldn't we?
We were in Edinburgh at the time.
More than not, though.
Glasgow beating Munster 21-18 is a big result for them.
Yeah, that really is.
And again, they had Richie Vernon at outside centre.
Yeah, because Bentley, young outside centre's injured.
Cardiff had a really strong win against Scarlets. I mean, they look much more solid than they have done.
Rumour is Rhys Pratchwell will move from Cardiff to another one of the regions, potentially even Scarlets, if they get rid of
Priestland.
Isn't Priestland thought to be going to Bath.
Was the rumour, yeah.
I'd love to see Pratchwell get a shot. He's very good. But they seem intent on keeping Ainscombe at 10 for the Blues.
Isn't Ainscombe going to be one of the potentially central contracted Welshmen?
No idea. I don't know what's happening with that and how it's all working. No idea.
That'd be interesting.
I think they're looking for a number 8 first, just to complete the back row. And then they'll kind of work from there.
Get Toby.
Yeah, I think get Toby Faletau done.
We will get back to looking ahead to the rugby that's coming up. And like I say, this is our last podcast of the year, so that means we'll sort of look ahead to the Boxing Day and beyond fixtures.
Shall we break it up with a quiz?
Yeah, that's a good idea. But before we do, Ian Johnston tweeted at Rugby Podcast and he just said, JB won a quiz after last week's episode.
Well, I did.
He says, I feel I should have been doing something far more important for a once in a lifetime moment like that than just going to work.
It's like when, where were you when Diana died?
Yeah. JFK, JB winning a quiz. Dulcian on Twitter as well said, thank you very much, Rugby Podcast, for a great year. After listening to the podcast, I purchased some Stollen.
Oh, yes.
Best decision today. Hashtag wonderful.
Wonderful indeed. Wonderful Stollen.
Wonderful Stollen.
It's great to have an excuse to stuff your face full of delicious Stollen.
Do that. Let's have a bit of a quiz. And for today's quiz, we have another contestant.
Hello.
Bruno.
Bizzle, how are we doing?
Very well, thank you.
Bruno, how are you doing? It's Tim and Phil here as well, you right?
Hi, Tim. Hi, Phil.
Hi, mate.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
Right.
Have you got your laptop set up so you can Google straight away?
No.
good man.
We trust you.
Who am I playing against?
Right, I am the question master. Oh. Tim, you're playing against Tim.
And Phil.
And Phil. Now, I'll tell you, this is a quiz that I'd be very, very good at because unlike Phil's quizzes, this one's about rugby. So, it's going to test your rugby knowledge, not your guessing weights knowledge.
Come on then.
Fire up my music, Tim.
Okay. There you go. Question number one for JB, come on.
Number one, what position did Brian O'Driscoll play in his first ever Lions game and who did they play?
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know who they played.
Don't know who they played.
I've got a guess.
Go on then, Bruno, you lead us off. I've got an answer written down.
Okay, it was definitely fullback in the Australia 2001 tour.
Yeah, I've got that.
I've got fullback.
I want to say it was like the Queensland President's 15, but I'm not 100% sure of that.
I've guessed at Western Force.
Tim?
I guessed at Brumbies.
It was, in fact, the President's 15.
Oh, wow. You two in cahoots there, or what?
Oh.
All right, so
we've got a live one.
So that's one to me and Phil, two to Bryn. Question two.
Jason Robinson famously switched codes and went to Sale. But for who did he have his first game of Union?
Which club were they playing against?
He was famous for Sale, but which club did he play his first game of Union with?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Go on, Bryn.
I would say it was during that time when they were doing swaps from Union to League to Union in this, you know, when during the winter when the league breaks. Bath, I would say, but I'm not sure on that.
Well, I was going to say, I thought maybe this was a trick question because I wrote and I hope you'll accept this, I wrote Wigan because technically he played Union with Wigan against Bath.
But
in the cross code match.
That's a smart answer.
And then I wrote Bath. Because if it was a full match in the Premiership, then it was Bath. Well, that's what I thought.
I've put Oral.
Ooh.
Because they had links, Wigan and Oral.
But they also hate each other with a passion. The answer is actually Bath. He played in Bath colours.
Wow, there you go. That's three to Bryn, two to me, one to Phil.
Okay.
Question three.
Sticking with rugby league converts, I want to know, since 2006, how many rugby league converts have Gloucester played in their back division? And who are they?
Oh, do you want the names?
I want their names.
Wow.
Oh, what was his name?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what was that lad's name? I'm going to have to turn the music off so I can concentrate.
I've got two at the moment.
God, I've only got one.
And there's one more and I can't
remember. What's his name?
I know his name.
Yeah, oh God, what's his name? I'm just going to stick where I am. Go on, Brent.
I've got three, yeah. But one of them I'm not sure on, to be honest, but I think he played for them. Two of them are pretty obvious, I think. I've got Vinicolo.
Correct.
Yeah.
Got him.
Henry Paul.
Correct.
I didn't put him.
Who?
Henry Paul.
His brother, and I can't quite remember what his name is.
Henry Paul. And there's one more?
Yeah. I put Carl Price.
P-R-Y-C-E, Price.
Did you put down Price, Bruno?
I put Price, but I didn't have his first name.
Should we give him Price?
No.
Nope.
Because there's Leon, isn't there?
Oh, look at Phil on one point, Dan.
Sorry. So
Phil's on four, I'm on four, and Bryn's on five.
Yeah, I had Shante and Happy, but...
No, Bath.
Bath.
Now.
And
Bath.
Leslie Vinicolo used Shante and Happy's name when he got arrested for fighting
with students or something.
Yeah.
That is correct, Phil. Okay. Dead simple question now.
Question number four.
Who was the first French player to play Super Rugby? Phil looks baffled by this.
The first French player to play Super Rugby?
Yeah. I'll give you a clue. He also played against the Lions twice.
Against the Lions?
I'm going to give you an answer, but it's wrong.
Okay. So, Phil's giving me one.
I've got
is
something.
Is not a trick question? Was he?
Nope, it's not a trick question. It's straight down the middle.
Yeah, I've got one answer, but I don't think it'll be.
Go on, Bruno. What's yours?
I've got Frédéric Michelac, but.
Didn't he play for Natal Sharks for
did
a bit?
Play
Damn
for
it!
Natal Sharks.
Damn it! I haven't put him.
Against the line, I don't think.
I've got Peter de Villiers.
I put Peter de Villiers as well.
Good. Both strong. Good.
South African.
Both strong.
Well. The first French international to play Super Rugby was in fact Christian Califano.
So we're still on 4-4-5. Question number five.
Okay. Aidan McCullen is the answer to the question, which I'm not going to read out. So we will skip that one.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry about it. It'll stop.
Question number six. So the final one. So going into the final question, we are currently on Phil on four, me on four, and Bryn on five.
Okay. Nice, simple one. What are the official colours of USA Perpignan?
The official colours.
I've got mine written down.
Oh, Tim's very confident. Very speedy writer.
I've got one colour, but I'm not sure, to be honest.
Now,
you got it written down, Phil?
I've got some.
I'll give you a clue before you give your answers. In the same way that Gloucester wear red and white, they call themselves cherry and white. These are very pedantic colours. In the same way that Warrington's colours are primrose and blue.
Well, that's just throwing a spanner in the works. You're not just going to go with. So you wouldn't give a wrong answer going Gloucester? No, they don't. No, you got it wrong. They don't play in red. They play in cherry.
Yeah, because it's their official colours.
Oh, come on!
No, they're the official colours. Spurs
are
the lily white.
This is going to be ridiculous.
What are the official? They're fairly famous. I get this.
You have a go at me for being pedantic and liking rules. You want the official colours?
Yeah, because it's very important.
Not the colour that everyone would describe it as.
All the fans would definitely describe it as this.
Okay.
Go on, Bryn, what have you got?
red and yellow.
I've got yellow, red.
Okay.
I've got yellow, red and white.
Sorry, boys. The fans would describe their own colours as blood and gold. Because blood and gold are the Catalan colours.
So me and Bryn got that right.
You and Bryn got it.
You did not get that right because you did not get blood and gold.
You and
that's like saying Australia wear yellow.
So Phil is in third place with 4 points because you added the white. That probably invalidated
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm in second place with 5 and our winner is 6 points representing Egg Chaser podcast listeners everywhere, Bryn Williams. Recently barbarian capped Bryn Williams.
That's right.
It's been a big year for you, hasn't it? It just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
I didn't think I could top the ball bars, but to be honest, Tim, when I found out he was the quizmaster, I thought I'd probably finish last because he wasn't there. I thought a banker finished ahead of JB, but I'm sure.
Good man. Well, happy Christmas anyway, Bryn.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Have a good one, fella.
See you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Take it easy.
RGC lad, so well media trained.
That was everything I expected a quiz run by JB to be.
I particularly like the answer given first to question number 5.
Now listen, quick Christmas thing then, before we move on. We had loads and loads of suggestions for a 12 days of Eggsmas. So a rugby 12 days of Christmas. And I'm just going to reveal what the 12 days are officially now. Thank you for your help with this one. 12 trees at centre.
Obviously.
11 Hartley's fighting.
Oh, good.
Wayne Hurley with this one. 10 Laws a leaping.
I like
good,
that.
Good,
yeah, which is excellent.
Good.
9 Johnny's kicking.
Not so keen on that one.
Yeah, I had to get Johnny in there somewhere. 8 Braids are stealing.
Yeah.
7 Aussies bubbling. Suggested Matt Gooders. Now, bubbling, do you remember that? Actually, Todd Carney could have got in our alternative team of the year. He's a rugby league player who
could have done.
Partook in a bit of bubbling. Why don't you look that up on Google if you're not sure what the bubbling story was from rugby this year?
I'd say do it in work if you're a bit bored.
Definitely do it on the Christmas party.
Oh yeah.
When someone's filming. You won't regret that. 6 Sams are slamming. Global Saracens on Twitter with that one. 5 would be Let the Boys Play.
That's very good.
Says Louis Redux. 4 Cummins quotes. 3 French tens.
Ooh, nice. Someone suggested 2 Tuilagis.
2 Tuilagis. All right, we'll go with that.
But that's statistically incorrect. There's not 1,000 of them.
And what about this one for number 1? There was someone said it should be and a quiz that was won by JB, and someone said it should be and a William Webb Ellis trophy. I quite like and a parleying in a 12 trees.
Parleying in a 12 trees.
A partridge in a pear tree.
I get that bit. I'm getting the other bit, Tim.
Might be another scandal somewhere yet to come out. Anyway, moving on. Happy Christmas and all that. What have we got left to do? Nothing, just look ahead. Oh, salary cap.
Wow.
Right.
Now we're talking.
Right, let's get into this then. Salary cap. Now, there's been a few people saying different stuff about the salary cap this week. And let's just remind ourselves of where we stand. The salary cap is being raised for next season for Aviva Premiership clubs to try and retain more of as many of their players as they can. Secondly, they're increasing a second marquee player outside of the salary cap. So you're allowed to have 2 players now who you can pay whatever you want and it won't get included in your salary cap. So the RFU are kind of definitely bending to the tune of the richer clubs. Apparently 7 of them, though, and this is led by Saracens, say they want it to be increased even further or they want it to be scrapped altogether.
We need a salary cap. There is no choice about it. Salary cap has to happen. Because when you get rid of your salary cap, your league will turn into the French league, which is let's just buy the biggest players that we possibly can and beat each other up at the breakdown. And that has all come from the French obsession with not having a salary cap. What the salary cap does is it gives a bit more parity between the teams. And parity increases competition. And like the good capitalist that I am, I believe that is better for everyone. Because then you start seeing more advanced coaching techniques, more advanced strategy. I would say that the coaching and the strategy in the Aviva is far superior to the coaching and the strategy that you see employed in places like Toulon. And if you watch the rugby, I think that would probably back up my statement.
I'd go with all of that. What I would say, I do want to see the best talent in the Premiership because it's the league that we all watch most.
Yep.
And so I like having like the second marquee, the first marquee.
I think they're brilliant rules.
I think they're I think they're good, but I do. Part of me wants to leave it up to the clubs if they want to spend 20 million on players or do and potentially go the way of Oral or Richmond. It's up to them to do it. They should like. As businessmen, business models, be able to model it themselves.
The problem is with sports is it's so emotional that people don't think about what they're doing when they're spending their money. So yeah. I think from a business point of view, the league has to structure it in that way. I go on about it all the time, but the most successful sporting business model is the NFL, and they operate through parity. So, you know, if you're a Newcastle fan, it is no fun because you live in Newcastle, but your team is also terrible, and. You know, from 1 year you can go from being absolutely terrible, and then the next year you're actually in with a shout. It happens in the NFL all the time.
I do like the increased competition and making it so the competition makes it a better league than just purely buying the best stars.
We're singing from the same hymn sheet because I completely agree with everything you said. I love the NFL. I love American sports, and one of the reasons I love it is that the team that I followed since I was like a nipper, New York Jets. I've had years of being absolutely dreadful. We then got really good for about 4 or 5 years and challenged for titles for a few years, challenged for titles. Almost every team, every franchise has won the Super Bowl.
It is amazing to see a site like Toulon. I mean, it is amazing just to read that team sheet. But on the other hand, if someone said to me, look, here's 15 of the world's best players, I'd like them spread evenly among all the clubs.
But it's also the off-field strategy of potentially you could let some of your highest earning stars go in order to free up. Saracens in the last year have let Matt Stevens and Moritz Botha both go. They would be English capped. Yeah. They would both be high salary caps to bring in Maro Itoje.
This weekend of Aviva games just shows exactly why the Aviva is the best league, in my opinion. Because everything seems so competitive. If you watch the top four team for all the names, it's actually quite a boring league.
What we sort of touched on is the national games in pretty good health in England, actually. Twickenham's always full.
Yeah.
You could probably have double the number of games, it would still be full.
Mm. Yeah.
But the club game has got room for growth. And it's that balancing act, isn't it? On the one hand, you want to give the clubs more spending power so you get the best players and they're therefore maybe a more kind of glitzy, showbizzy, eye-catching product. Or do you want to keep the games really ultra-competitive for more of a spectacle in the 80 minutes of the match? That's the sort of balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think what they're doing, like the points you made at the start, Jay, I think what they're doing at the moment is kind of achieving that. The second marquee will definitely, yeah. I really
because
like
they
that.
They were all whinging about Dan Carter. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you had deep pockets and you wanted Dan Carter, you could have had him.
It was interesting. Dylan Hartley this week said he's turned down a mammoth offer from Montpellier, which would have been a lot more. But we were discussing it between ourselves. When you take into account the fact that he will be ineligible to play for England, which is £14,000
per appearance,
which is you play 10, 12 games a year. So if he gets 10 caps for England a year, that's £140,000 extra. So how much more was this offer that when you take into account the England money?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's actually, even from a financial point of view, like a big gulf when you look at it like
and
that.
Isn't it interesting? When you've got loads of cash, like Saracens have got loads of cash, what do you do with it? Because you can't spend it on players. What do you do with it? Well, first they go and build a stadium, so they've got a permanent home now. So they've gone from this like nomadic existence, and now they've got a proper base and they can actually grow their support. And secondly, they do crazy things like employ KPMG to crunch their numbers and use big data. And this is exactly the kind of thing which salary caps make you do because it increases competition.
Yeah.
We're all singing from the same hymn sheet. If you have a different opinion and you want to voice it, at Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Now, would you have like a wish, a Christmas wish in terms of rugby, JB? Would it be just generally just to let the boys play?
That's exactly what it would be, Tim. That's exactly, you took the words out of my mouth. It'd be let the boys play.
Mine would just be good, attractive, open rugby. Lots of tries scored.
Let's look ahead briefly to the rugby that's on offer then over the festive period and starting on Boxing Day, London Irish, London Welsh. Let's just move on.
Yep.
Irish will actually record a win for a bit, which is nice. Saturday the 27th, Bath play Exeter in a bit of a West Country derby
there.
Yeah.
I wanted to go and watch this game, but I can't get the time off needed.
Bath will win that at home, won't they?
Yeah. Should be a good game.
Don't know.
Yeah,
it should be. Don't know.
Bath will win.
Central's
Bath
winner. Been on a skin there.
Sale v Leicester at the AJ Bell Stadium. That'll be actually what the AJ Bell could be like if Sale had a crowd, because I imagine that'll be quite a good turnout.
Yeah.
I might go to that.
I went to watch the reverse fixture in Leicester last year.
Are we doing it this year?
I think that will be a away win.
Yeah, Leicester are getting back up to speed, back up to where they need to
be. And I think it'll be an away win for Saracens at Newcastle.
I'd go with that as well.
And I think it'll be an away win for Northampton at Quins.
Yes, I'll go with that.
And I think it'll be an away win for Wasps against Gloucester.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I agree.
So we're going all away wins except for Bath.
Bath and London Irish.
And London Irish.
So four away wins.
London Irish West and London Irish East to win at home and everyone else to win away. I haven't looked. There must be Pro 12 matches around Boxing Day and stuff.
There certainly will be.
Oh, yeah. On Friday, Boxing Day, there is the Blues against Dragons.
Yeah.
Cardiff Newport.
Yeah, it's all the local matchups, isn't it?
Yeah, these would be spicy little matches.
Yeah, these would be good. Like Munster-Leinster should be a really good game.
Cardiff at home, you'd think, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Munster-Leinster, 5 p.m. kickoff on Boxing Day. Yeah. Forget the Boxing Day footy, that sounds tasty.
Yes, and Ulster Connor. At 8:45 on Boxing Day. It's late kickoff.
I've got that as 7:15.
Oh, have you? I've got it at 8:45 on here.
That'd be awesome.
That would be a late kickoff.
I've got it at 18:45.
No, 20:45 it says.
Oh, no, hopefully it is. Home wins.
Yes, yes, yes. Glasgow Edinburgh on the Saturday.
Home win.
Home win. Osprey Scarlets.
Home win.
Home win. And then Zebra Treviso. And I'd go for home win again. Zebra playing some good rugby this year.
Boys, it's been a bloody pleasure this year.
Yeah,
it has.
We're in different parts of the country, and obviously we're family, as you'd imagine. So when do you reckon we'll be back? We won't do one before New Year, will we?
No.
No. So it'll be the Sunday the
4th.
4th.
Yes.
So listen up. It'll probably be Monday the 5th will be the next podcast. But thank you very, very much for listening over the last year. Like I say, whether it's been one episode or every episode, really grateful that you've got on board. We're the underdog. Who would we be if in rugby terms? We're an underdog that's overachieving and...
Exeter.
Without the resources of some of our...
No, we're not.
We are.
No, we're not. We're Bath. a skillful broadcasting crew in the podcasting version of Farley House here in XFM. It doesn't get much better.
No, you're right. We're in quite a nice studio, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
But we don't have the contacts.
We don't have the contacts. We don't have the resources.
Your brother's a professional rugby player.
We haven't got...
We went with passes from BT Sport, who are our mates,
because
to Chicago.
Because they listened and liked the podcast.
Yeah, we're the plucky underdogs.
We don't have a big media machine like some radio stations that put out a podcast.
You are the media machine. You've got 3 million views of your children opening presents.
Whatever.
And we're sat in front of £1 million worth of
We've got about the studio here. We've got 600K.
Merry Christmas, JB.
Merry Christmas, Tim.
Happy Christmas, Phil.
Happy Christmas, Tim.
Thanks for listening. Oh, got something to play us out with. And this got a tweet about this one. Yes, it's from Global Saracens on Twitter, who says, surely Bristol rugby players singing Christmas carols at French Hay Hospital should be the song that you play out to on the podcast this week. And that's exactly what it is. Bristol Rugby visited the children at French Hay Hospital in Bristol to give them presents and to sing a few Christmas carols. Bristol Rugby Club, take it away.
Hey, count away, right? One, two, three, four.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.